G'day, welcome to this episode of From the Internet, where I chat to people who I've met or become known of via the internet. Today I'm chatting with Leon Sjögren. He's the executive producer of The Dan and Maz Show, and I hope very much that I just pronounced his last name right. Before Dan and Maz, Leon was producing Fifi and Jules, did a bit on the Hot 30, and has been with SCA for quite a while now. But we actually know each other from back in the SYN days. We both worked at the same student radio and TV network in Melbourne. Now, I was actually helping out with the Dan and Maz Show a few weeks ago, and we recorded this in their studio there. Now, it is a little bit rushed because I'm the radio nerd that I am. I really wanted to record it in the Today FM Breakfast Studio, which meant we kind of got wrapped up and kicked out because one of the other shows needed to do an interview. But it was still worth it. We talk about how the internet works with radio and vice versa. And look, the ratings for the Dan and Maz Show aren't the highest. They will be now. They're going to grow. I'm certain of that. But let me tell you, it's a great show. And like I said, despite those numbers, I reckon they're probably the leaders in how radio shows can maximize digital and social. So pay attention. So welcome to this episode of From the Internet. It's with producer Leon. Enjoy. Leon, we met at... We didn't say we met at SYN, but we just at SYN at the same time. And yeah. You know a lot of people's names without knowing them, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So we would have been ones like that.
We probably would have seen each other and just waved and thought we knew each other.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the first time we actually met, I had just... It was 2 days before my short film premiered at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Yes.
And you were doing the much-hyped show, The Wrap.
Much-hyped.
Yeah. And so much so, I was like, hey, man, have you got any room on your show this week so I can plug my premiere? And you're like, yeah, we got plenty of room.
Plenty of room. Well, hang on. Don't make me sound too desperate. No, we had room. It was a live TV show, on a Friday night.
Yeah.
On Channel 31 in Melbourne.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was great fun.
That was cool.
Did it boost your ticket sales?
We sold out.
I'd like to think that was because of The Wrap.
I sold out at the 2011 Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And let me say, that's a benefit of doing one show.
One TV show?
No, one screening.
One screening, yeah. Nothing to do with The Wrap.
No, it was all The Wrap. Good.
Thank you.
Now, your job now, we're currently in the studio of Dan and Maz, the Today FM breakfast show.
We are in, the Dan and Maz studio in Today FM.
So this is kind of cool. Usually I'm sitting in Bunbury speaking to someone on the phone, but now I'm in...
The Big Smoke. Yeah.
Literally, which is cool. So thanks for having me in here.
No worries. Thank you for helping out. You've been helping out in Dan and Maz this week.
Yeah, well, I nearly helped out too much by getting my tongue down the throat of a Bachelor contestant. No, but luckily, secretly wanted that to happen.
Mate, that was your big shot.
Bridget called me last night and said, I haven't ruined your career, have you? Have I? And I was like,
well, let's wait. Give it a few years. If you're still in Bunbury, that's when you have the conversation with her.
Look, this
and
is
try
my
and
chance.
Track down Sandra from The Bachelor.
She'll be easy to find, I'm sure. The podcast is called From the Internet. We kind of met on the internet being around SYN, but what I want to know is, as an EP of a big radio show, how many people do you reckon find or discover their next favourite show or the next favourite radio announcer, not from the radio, but from online?
It's becoming more and more popular, I think, especially with radio. I know radio used to be, if you're a good talker, you can be on radio, but nowadays it's kind of like, are you a comedian or a TV star, or you've got some, have you been on The Bachelor? But I feel like more and more they're trying to find people online because they have a community that sort of follow them more.
BYO fans.
Yeah, exactly right. I think it was a while back, there's a podcast called The Sweetest Plum.
Yep.
Which is two comedians, Melbourne comedians.
Declan Fay
and Nick Maxwell.
Yep.
They just got this sort of weird underground following all of a sudden, and then Triple M picked them up and put them on nights, and then within a few months they were doing the Sydney Drive Show on Triple M, I think it was.
Far out.
Didn't last too long because their show was a podcast.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to put a podcast on the radio, commercial radio.
Do you reckon that's put a lot of big radio bosses off going, like, oh, because these guys have got a great podcast, and they go, well, no, we can't do that because The Sweetest Plum do that, and we all know how that works.
Yeah, exactly. It could be that. I don't know. I think, and the thing is, I feel like they finished Triple M, then they went back to doing podcasts, and I feel like they're probably more successful now. They've got, and they've got stories from their radio industry, etc.
Yeah. Do you think it's hard to, because I know a lot of people like podcasts because they're like, because it's not on the radio. They can say whatever they want. They don't have to hit the news on time, and that's the benefit of the podcast. And then why would they want to go on radio? Besides the money.
Kinda. It had more freedom. I suppose it has more freedom. Yeah. I used to do a podcast.
The Boardroom.
Thank you. Yeah.
Look, were there many fans? Because I was a fan.
There were a lot of fans, and it had a bit of an underground following as well, but it was kind of filthy.
I was just looking around who's behind me, because weren't you advised to not do it anymore?
Yes. I don't think that really helps.
Can we be heard out here, by the way?
No, no one can hear out there.
Okay,
but this is being broadcast to the internet. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, there is that.
Yeah. No, I was advised to probably stop the podcast. Which,
is that because it was too rude?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
But because it could be linked back to you and your
show. Yeah, totally. And I understand that. That sort of stuff happens.
Do I understand that? Because I feel like I do. Like, I often put stuff on my Facebook page or in a podcast, and even my roommate's like, are you sure you should be doing that, man?
I don't know. It's really weird. These days, you've got to be really careful with what you post online.
Well, say the guys like Frenchie and those guys,
yep,
who have more Facebook fans than our whole company combined,
mm,
and they're rank. And so
they
sometimes
are, like, so filthy and offensive.
But they got so many fans, and sometimes I see that and I go, maybe that's what we're not doing.
Well, that's maybe the sort of the fork in the road. So you get to that point, you go, well, am I going to be filthy, like, all the way?
And unemployable.
And or the other way around is, you know, do you stay safe and clean and you might get a job on the other side. So
what should I do with my life, Leon?
Be filthy. Be filthy.
All right. Yeah. Be filthy. I asked you this last week, so I hope you've had time to think about
it. Oh, God. Totally.
Because obviously a lot of big moments come, online moments come from a radio show.
Yep.
And you would have had a lot to do with many, and not a lot of people would credit it to you. So here's the one time where the producer can be on the stand and take a bow and said, yep, that was my idea.
I'll take credit for everything because producers do everything and talent do nothing.
Yeah, correct. But what, is there a couple that like stand out that you, not that you like want to claim and brag, but that like you're proud of sort of thing?
Yeah. There's a few that have stood out. Look, for example, today is today on our show, the Dan and Maz show this morning.
Yep.
You helped us out with this. It was a great online moment. The Bachelor, for anyone who doesn't watch it, obviously the reality dating show.
Yep.
Sandra was probably the most controversial ladies who got kicked out last week.
Yep.
She missed out on one of the best dates, which was breaking a world record kiss on top of the Sydney Harbour Bridge. So we tried to help recreate this morning live on the show with one of our music directors here at Today FM. And
Plan B, as I called him last night.
Plan B. It was
I love
be-
that when we told him that story, he didn't know it was Plan B at the time.
Yeah, and had to break that news to him.
Yeah, I know. I felt very proud.
So, yeah, we went at the top of the Sydney Centrepoint Tower.
Just twice as high as the Sydney Harbour Bridge we learnt this morning.
Spot on. Yeah. You went up there and we did it live from the show. But also for online, we trialed out this new Facebook live stream, which
Facebook
was...
Facebook Mentions?
Yes. Yeah, which is great.
It was like, fantastic.
It's kind of like Periscope for Facebook. And
the video lives forever.
Yes. So it went for 17 minutes. People could tune in and out. They could comment. There was people, you know, and I think we had about... the highest point was about 3,000 people live streaming it. But, you know, last time I checked, it was 10,000 views.
And all... It's 2 o'clock now. This podcast won't be on...
For another month.
It was...
This is very, very topical.
It was at 20,000 when I checked it before.
Great. So yeah. I haven't been looking at it as much. Yeah. But yeah.
And that's the dodgy
stream. So that kind
stream,
of thing. Yeah, that's just the dodgy stream.
When we make the actual video.
Exactly.
Probably get that again.
And as far as I know, I believe the Daily Mail in the UK and over here in Australia have picked it up already.
Really?
There's been a few other things as well. So it's those kind of things. Like, it's really exciting with all the new technology, and we've got an awesome digital team here on the show who are great with that sort of stuff. And, you know, trying out whether it is Periscope, whether it is Snapchat. You know, I think we were one of the first radio shows in Australia to really take on Snapchat.
Yep.
And it's an awesome sort of in-look into behind the scenes of the show, and just that it's crazy.
Well, that is a good thing because all, like I read in the Facebook comments yesterday on the Dan and Maz page, Zoe was doing something.
Yes.
And even one, just a fan who was like, oh, I love Zoe when she does this. And the fact that they all know all of you. And it is, from what you see online, it is generally a good time in here in the morning. A mad time.
It's great. It's so much fun. It's the kind of things where I think at the end of the meeting today, one of our producers, Alex, walked out of the door. And as she was walking out, she goes, oh, I need to get a mariachi band for next Tuesday. And that's just a normal sentence for us. But we forget that, you know, for people that work in, you know, shopping centers or in offices, that is like one of the weirdest things to hear, but we just say it so much. So it's just sort of that peek behind the curtain for people at the weirdness and fun that we have in the office. And it is a bit crazy, and it's kind of funny because the bosses don't really know how to use Snapchat. So we can be a bit more loose on there.
It's on that Snapchat thing, don't worry about it.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, it's a younger audience looking at it, and, you know, it's about, I think we started it, you know, in February or March, and we're up to about 10,000 views per Snapchat, open per Snapchat, which is huge. To have a direct audience that just engaged with these little 10-second bites of content.
Just to go back to like social media in radio one-on-one, would the theory be is that people go on Facebook this morning and they go, geez, that looks cool, and then they have to tune in? Or is a social its own thing that the company will make money off?
it's kind of hand in hand. I feel like there's a bit of, you have an audience on social media now and an audience on radio, and then in between there is both.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, we're not just a radio show anymore, an entertainment platform, I suppose.
Yeah.
Rather than we do a radio show and there's some cool, you can check it out online. There can be fans of our show on social media that have never heard the show, the radio show.
That's a weird thought, isn't it?
It's a weird thought. Yeah. Like, and that's, again, our digital team are just the content creators in their own right, rather than just an extension of the radio show. Like, they're currently creating a mini series where they're voicing cats, like The Catchula.
Yep.
The Bachelor, sorry, called The Catchula. And that might not even get mentioned on the radio show, but, you know, it's this whole other piece of content that will push our brand out to, you know, different fans.
Would you try and find excuses, though, to mention it on air? Because I always have this thing, and I guess for my show it's a lot smaller, is that I like to find an excuse for the radio to push the online and online to push the radio, or do you just, you do whatever it is? And because I know this morning when I was watching and filming online the makeout, I was like, shit, I wish I was listening to this on radio. And so that's good. And then also when I listened back to it on the radio, I was like, shit, I need to watch this. Like, it was both. Like, it was both ways, which I guess is the perfect
one. That's it. I think something like that was perfect for that, because it's kind of, I wish I could see it. And it's kind of that thing for radio where you can't really broadcast 5.5 minutes of kissing.
No.
So, yeah. the emergency tape would kick in eventually. So I think, yeah, you got
to
find
that. For someone who was standing on top of the tower, really close to them, and it's really quiet up there. There's no wind or anything.
Yeah.
I can actually hear the slobbering. So yeah.
That's why I gave you that task. I wasn't going up there.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I don't know. I think you got to find the right things for that. You know, I think this morning was perfect for that sort of thing. You know, you have to see it, and you had to hear it as well, because you want to hear the reactions of Dan and Maz and some other people as well.
Does that mean that, say, for your job and the other producers, I guess there's maybe advice for people that would want your job. Like,
It's not available.
It's not available.
Right now.
A job like yours.
Yes.
People coming from an online background, people coming from a radio background, should they have both anyway? Like, I know when I was at, you know, it's in like, oh, you got to do your social presence and stuff, but...
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, if you're coming into radio now and you have no social or digital, you know, thoughts or ideas or experience, you need to know how it works.
And you need everyone to know both, or is it the matter of getting a mix within your...
I think you need a basic understanding of social media overall and then radio overall, because in meetings, you know, we don't want to pitch half the team pitching radio ideas and half the team pitching social media, which is why our team is awesome. They get everything, so they'll understand that, you know, if we're doing a segment about something, you know, in the morning, like rapping... Dads, one of your great ideas that
Thank
made to radio this morning. Dads
and,
that can rap.
And back on again tomorrow.
Exactly right.
Rapping mums.
Oh my God, my job's in jeopardy. I feel like it's, our producers will go, hey, that's an awesome segment idea online. Sorry, on air, but how can we do that online as well? Like, they'll instantly go, what's, you know, do we just ask for dads to tweet us, or, you know, can you send us a video of your dad rapping? Or there's always a second thought of how we can do it socially. Yeah. And then again, how Dan and Maz can mention it on air.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's another way to push people to it.
Yeah. You were saying before about a lot of people in radio now, like they're a YouTuber, they're a comedian or whatever.
Mm.
And this is just like a really selfish question because of the position I'm in. Do you think the days are changing where people will actually come through regional radio? I guess Dan and Maz are... Like, they've come from late nights and whatever to get to here.
Yeah, they've been everywhere. Like, they've done Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney.
Yeah, but, like, do you think that'll be changing the next 5 years? That because people will come to the city and, like, well, the city doesn't know you, you've got no online thing, or maybe both, or...
Well, I think, there's probably...
Career-cancelling/podcast.
Yeah, what's going on? Are we recording this? Is it just...
I'll play it back on the plane when I fly home, and what am I going to do with my life?
I think there's always going to be a spot for regional radio. Yeah.
Well, it has to be because it still makes lots of money.
Exactly right.
So there's always
Exactly right. You're always going to have that. I suppose
I just really like this studio, Leon, and I'd like to.
You want a job here?
I'm going to stay longer. these TV lights are pretty bright, aren't they?
They are really bright.
I'll get used to them. Yeah, please.
Haven't got these in Bunbury. No,
not as many.
I don't know. I feel regional radio is always going to be there. It's kind of cool that if you have the right ideas and the dedication and, you know, skills, you can become big online as well, and that could lead to your next radio career, whether it is regional or metro or provincial or like I know online, like one of my friends in Melbourne, started doing Vine videos as Vine started up, and yeah. he's become like one of the biggest Viners in Australia.
Yeah, right.
To the point where people fly him around, and he gets paid to do Vines, and he gets, you know, comes to, he was at Tropfest last week because he's a, you know, short film producer.
It's weird, those things, though. They still take, like, it's weird when you see a video clip and it goes viral from those sort of guys, and you're like, oh, that'd be easy, 7-second video. But
there's so much art.
And he's been, but also like, doing it for years. Like, yeah. Those YouTubers, they've spent 4 years crafting their character. And
exactly. Right. And it's even just the research around what hashtags do I use, down to the point where, you know, he'll post it, he'll set it, you know, to be posted, you know, 3 a.m. because that's prime time in the US where right. Vine has more viewers. Like,
yep.
Whether it's, you know, when school's finished in the US, what time that is, because all the younger people look at it and share it straight after school.
Yeah. With the, like, talking more about the internet and more, instead of the stuff you put out, the stuff that comes your way, I know it's different because, you know, we're the similar age where the internet's been around since we've been working, but, like, is it weird for you? I think all the time, like, fuck, what would I do in show prep and without the internet? And even just, yep. I know that, like, it's natural for you to getting your stuff, like, because you'll see other radio shows pop up and on your newsfeed and you go, this, this, and this, blah, blah, blah. Can you just imagine what it'd be like in the newspaper days? You just come in and open the paper and go, oh, what are people talking about?
The biggest thing I don't understand how they used to do it, is chasing guests. Like, you know, we're always...
that's what I do. I tweet them and go, hey, yeah. mate, can you come on in 5? Yeah.
We do R&B Fridays here on Today FM, which is, you know, old school R&B throughout the day.
Yep.
And I try and get an R&B artist, an old school one, to, you know, kick it off every week on a Friday at 8 a.m. And I've gone to them just on Twitter, and again, our digital producer, Dave Edgley, one of our producers as well, is great at it. Just contact them, DM them, and they'll go, sure.
Yeah.
Like, because they haven't got management. They're in that time frame where it's like, if I try and find their manager who, you know, might get back to my email, might find a time for them to do a chat, it's just too much work for them. They're on their Twitter and go, oh, someone wants to talk to me in Australia. Sure. Here's my number. Like, it's just amazing. Like, I don't understand how that used to work. Like, yeah. There probably was more music PR, you know, a bit more working around that area, but
it must be slower. Take you 2 days.
Again, news stories break. We can. The other morning there was the bomb in Bangkok in Thailand, and we just looked at Twitter and people tweeting from that area, and we found an ex BBC journalist who jumped on the phone and gave us an update, which is just, again, I don't. You obviously have to have a black book of numbers back in the day, but everyone's available to chat pretty much these days.
Yeah, yeah. Like I was saying before, a lot of people are like, oh, it'd be so great to be a Viner and flown around, but the reality is it takes years and years of work.
Mm.
Is there something that if you could tell, like, your 18-year-old self to, like, start doing now that you would? Like, obviously, it's worked out pretty nice. You were an EP of a Brekkie Show in Sydney, so it's not like you're like, oh, shit, what would I
do? I'm not 18, though.
No, but is it...
got here eventually.
It's not like we're old hags going, oh, I regret this and I regret that. Like, I know you seem to be having a good time, but is there something if you could tell your younger self, like, how work has changed and stuff like that, like advice you'd give to yourself?
I reckon, I don't want to brag, but I reckon I nailed it. Yeah. Like, seriously, I think, but like, I volunteered in radio and TV when I was 17, and I just kept volunteering until people got me, you know, took interest. And, you know, if I went for jobs at radio places and they said, oh, you volunteered for 4 years before you were even 18.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff gave me the experience. And eventually I studied commercial radio at university, but then I learned more.
Just doing it
hands on than I ever would learning. And not saying don't go learn, kids. Yeah. Oh no, everyone's dropped out of uni.
The EP job seems like a fun job. Obviously, a lot of responsibility and stuff. And I've asked you this heaps on the phone before, but like, would you ever consider, what's the opposite to the dark side? Being on air again, or like, what you feel like once you've become a producer, that's what it is. Or?
I wouldn't say no to it down the track.
Yeah,
I think it's stressful. I like being behind the glass and waving my hand saying, shut up, guys. We need to play a song.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, exactly. It's always fun. And, you know, being a producer, you kind of have that spot every now and then where you go, hey, let's get on
air. Yeah, you guys have powered the show and stuff. So
yeah, exactly right. I feel like leave it up to the professionals and I can...
Well, you are a professional. You get paid, right?
Sure. No, look, it potentially. Right now, I really enjoy controlling the show and you have more of a control, I feel like.
Not being in here doing it.
Yeah. I tell them what to do. Yeah. They have their own thoughts and opinions and you know, but, at the end of the day, they're not here helping us organise the Bachelor coming in to make out with one of our bosses on the top of a tower in Sydney.
Yeah. That was good fun.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we are getting kicked out. Thanks for having me in the Today FM Down in Man's Breakfast Studio.
No worries. Thanks for helping.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.